It's always great to have my good old friend here. He is the Suffolk County Comptroller, John M. Kennedy. It's been a while. Good to do a little catch-up. And always a welcome addition to the program. Sir, how are you? Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine today, Jay, as a matter of fact. And always glad to phone in, talk to you, and share a lot of what's going on with your listener base. You know, Suffolk County is always a moving in complex place, as we know. So we got a lot underway.
Yep, no question. Lots to cover here. Let's go with the budget with the county executive, I guess, Friday announcing the budget. $3.88 billion for 2022, John, keeping county property taxes flat. The workforce and everything else, apparently adding some jobs here, police officers. Where are we at with this thing? You know, when I want the real story, I go to you because I'm going to get here. So give us an idea. Where are we at here?
All right. So let me give you the 30,000 square foot view. And in the spirit of full disclosure, I've only seen the news stories like you did. The budget is always, you have to take a look at it. I mean, if there's things in there that really are, they want to tout, you'll wind up with, you know, a full spread of news day the day before. If it's something that they just as soon try to kind of like, you know, roll out without a whole lot of hoopla, usually gets delivered at 5:01 on Friday night, you know, when the legislators get it. And honestly, I've not seen anything in it yet. But I'll give you just a couple of takeaways and observations. One, first of all, let's remember, Suffolk County has been the beneficiary of what now will have been roughly about $550 million of infusion of federal funding from the $300 million that we saw under President Trump last year, another $143 million here in 2021 from the Biden administration, and another $143 million going into 2022. My takeaway is, but for that money, Jay, we would be at the same place that I was talking about when I campaigned back in 19, basically insolvent. Our rate of spending still continues, in my opinion, in excess of what we are able to go ahead and take in revenue stream. Our revenue stream is up. There's no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, sales tax is off the Richter scale, but that is a blip, as you know. As a result of the pandemic, everybody wants to flee the city. Real estate market has still been white hot. And along with those purchases always goes, you know, refrigerators, washing machines, drapery, and things like that. So it's driving a sales tax. That's a limited type of phenomena that tails off at some point, and then you have to revert back to what our regular, you know, revenue streams are. Adding the 220 cops, you know, on the face of it, you say to yourself, hey, great, we're going to get some more cops. We have roughly about 178, 180 separations this year out of law enforcement. So, in fact, actually, we won't have a net gain. We'll be lucky to just go ahead and hold status quo. Our overtime out of the PD and out of the sheriff has been through the roof. 28, 30 million, I believe, coming out of each one of those sectors. That's a direct reflection of a lack of sufficient staff in the workforce. And, you know, driving our men and women in law enforcement to, you know, 16-hour days. One of the comments I got with the deputy sheriffs was that the new hires, some of them have worked 90 days straight without a day off. That's just, you know, that's unconscionable. When we look at the fact that there's reserves to be created, a reserve fund is great, but the reserve fund should be tempered or measured with what are our, you know, immediate and our long-term financial obligations. Remember, we still owe Tom DiNapoli $171 million on deferred pension payments. And in some years, that interest rate is as high as 3.5%. You know, even with our crappy triple B bond rating, I was able to get 1.499 on $85 million in our loan bond in August. So, that's something I'm going to attempt to do, is to try to open up a dialogue with Tom DiNapoli, who, by the way, I love. He's a great guy, indisputable, about how well he does for us at a state level as far as being a comptroller. But this is a conversation that needs to be had because his cost of money is higher than what the cost is on the open market. What else?
Yeah. John, you know, you and I have always spoken about the reckless nature of it all, the spending and everything else that has taken place in this administration. I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, I have this number in my head, $284.5 million from the rescue plan. And by the way, thank Congressman Lee Zeldin a lot for getting a lot of dollars to this county. Let's never forget that, okay? People tend
to
forget that.
For everything he's done for us, Jay, for his service, for his service.
There's no question.
And outstanding as far as what he's done. And
oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine. And could you, I mean, if it wasn't for that, okay? And I can't, listen, Steve Ballone has done a terrible job in managing the funds. We know that. We know that. You know, just reckless spending, fees on top of fees on top of the other fees. And let's never forget that as well. You know, it's done a very bad job in that regard. So he really got a bailout, man. I'll tell you, he got a bailout at the expense of many. But this government really bailed him out, bailed this county out, correct? Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And let's look at just like two things for contrast. Laura Curran, who, you know, listen, she sits in the other pew. She's doing a job that she's doing. By the way, I was with the police commissioner. That's one thing that she's done well. Pat Ryder, there was six of us over at the 9/11 memorial on Saturday. We put 295 names more up on a wall. But Pat was one of the readers, and I told him, I love everything the guy does. As a matter of fact, he's out front, he's in command, he's in charge, and he does what a police commissioner is supposed to do. Not to take anything away from Stu Cameron. Stu's a straight up and down guy. But that's one thing that Laura Curran did right. However, you see, in her budget, she's proposed a property tax reduction. You know, that's one of the things that you sit there and you say to yourself, okay, so a municipality in this surreal time is swimming in money. What can we do for the average citizen, for the taxpayer? I'll give you one that would have been something that even would have been, you know, a gimme. How about the $3 surcharge on vehicle registration? Walk that back. Take that and give it back to the state. No reason that Suffolk County should be reaping that. And that's about a $25 or $30 million revenue stream right there. Do something to acknowledge that the average citizen, day in and day out, is pulling his and her heart out through their nose, trying to go ahead and live and survive in this county. So my take on, oh, we didn't raise taxes. Well, you know what? Listen to me. Don't be patting yourself on the back because we didn't raise taxes. How about do something to say, okay, average citizen, we're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to do what we can to walk back for you. Give me even $100 for the year. Do something to go ahead and acknowledge, yeah, it's been a long, hard time. You've been creaming me with fees, $525 to record a SATA mortgage. Jay, it's men and women who have paid that mortgage faithfully for 35 and 40 years in this county, and now to get out to Riverhead. And when I started with Ed Romaine back in 1996, that same SATA mortgage was $33. Inflation has not gone up 3,000%. Do something to walk that back, but we don't see it. There's nothing there.
John, Don't even get me started with this stuff. I made a list here, and I've kept it on me throughout. The cost of living in this county is through the roof, okay? People can't afford to live here anymore, okay? People are exiting here left and right. Yeah, you're going to have an influx of folks from Manhattan and then, you know, all the elite coming out. But that doesn't wipe out what's going on here for real folks, okay? The cost of living, not to mention the roads are horrific here with the potholes. That's a whole nother thing that Laura Curran did very well, okay? With $75 million or whatever the heck it was to fix those roads over there. And I've said this all along. You know, you got the general fund, property tax, flat. The fees are the killers here for me. You know, the $100 million in increased fees, John, I mean, we can go over this till the cows come home between the parks, the burglar alarm, the mortgage, the vehicle wrench, and those lousy red light cameras, which to me, should have been an internal investigation beyond belief here. How they allowed these red light cameras to not make them uniform. Listen, we all know the problems with these things. It was a money grab, and that's what counties do. When they are in the status they are, they grab your money any way they can. Despicable.
Well, Jay, you know, as always, you kind of like, you know, bring a laser focus on what actually is going on. That sometimes, I guess, you know, people struggle to try to understand, and it, you know, gets a little confusing. Let's face it. I mean, we're a county as big as 11 states. We do have a lot of things that are going on, a lot of operations. But in times like this, you really, you know, our elected officials, our county executive, our ledge, hopefully, is going to roll up their sleeves and take a look at some of this and say, wait a minute, we got to walk some of this back. And yet, still do the things that the average resident, you know, man and woman here in Suffolk County want to see. Please, like you said, let's do something besides just throwing some cold patch in a pothole big enough to lose a Chrysler in. How about actually taking a road and repairing it, putting our men and women to work? You know, our road pavers, our laborers. 1298, George Trujillo, those men and women do a great job out there, day and night, and oftentimes working nights. They just want the opportunity to go to work. How about, you know, we do something like, geez, let's cut the grass once in a while. Half our municipal buildings look like, you know, they're leftovers from Afghanistan or something. Kabul's got better, you know, maintained areas than what we've seen with some of this. Those are the kind of quality of life things I've always said. You know, it was Giuliani who talked about the broken window theory. People look at their public facilities, public buildings, public areas, and I want to have some pride in it. And when I see it looking half-assed, see it looking shabby, it has a very demeaning effect on everything. Those are the things that I think oftentimes just aren't, you know, recognized or attention being paid. Yeah, we've had a great job done with our 9/11 memorial over at, you know, the Denison building. That was 2 weeks ago. But it's got to be a philosophy that's maintained for all our areas. And the other thing that you have to do is you have to sit there and say, you know, maybe some of these areas we don't need so much anymore. I mean, that's been one of the things that's been, you know, a legacy from COVID. Some staff actually can go ahead and continue to work remotely and do it effectively. My auditors actually were always the people that were kind of like the remote workers to begin with. It's just like lawyers. You don't make money behind a desk. Get up, get out there, get in, you know, on site with contract agencies and things like that. We as an entity can't be so locked into, we have to have bodies behind desks in a particular location. Our services need to be delivered, and we're going to talk a little bit about that certificate of residency, as you know, we just brought on. My goal, my responsibility, my focus is to go ahead and deliver service to my bosses, the 1.5 million people in Suffolk County. Not necessarily to have individuals sitting on some office, some floor, somewhere, some particular period of time. And we're going to do 4,000 certificates of residence, basically now, with an online application that's been built. Consumers are going to get the same benefit, that local Suffolk Community College tuition rate, the great Suffolk County Community College tuition rate, you know, when they're traveling upstate or when they're in FIT. And it's about having a function delivered, not being bought into this arcane concept that you have to have bricks and mortar and people at some place for some particular reason that nobody knows. I like that one.
I'll tell you this much. You know, I always say, how do you change things, right? You change things by not electing the same dreck over and over and over again. And we forget about that. But I got to tell you, in this case, because everybody always asks me about term, I believe in term limits. We have the power to term limit an individual. However, in this case of the county executive, guess what? He's termed up. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. As far as what happens going forward, it's about cleaning up the mess, the stench that exists currently right now. And believe me, I gave you just a couple of things here, folks. And the controller will agree with you, with me. As far as these fees and everything, the cost of living and the bond rating. And with, listen, I could go another hour with you on the Jake 58 deal and the campaign finance and the IT commission from way back. And my goodness, you talk about a bipartisan administration. Think again. Quite frankly, I've lived, eat, and breathed this garbage. Okay? And I know a lot of folks who are suffering. A lot of folks who are suffering because of the ineptitude of this administration, John F. Kennedy.
Single-party rule, Jay, is never any good for anybody. We both know it. As a matter of fact, you know, we've been students of government for a long, long time. And we have, I am one of the last elected officials around that was served in a Republican majority in the legislature. As a matter of fact, when I came in 2004, after Judge Cracker got put up on the bench, Joey Caracappa was my presiding officer. We had an 11-member ledge. And, you know, there's an opportunity, just as you've talked about, coming up in about 6 short weeks, to go ahead and to shuffle the deck and to take a look and say enough is enough and to put in some Republican candidates that will be real game changers and re-engage the legislature to be the oversight policy-making entity that it is supposed to be. In a full spirit of disclosure, you know, my wife's a legislator, and I can tell you she works hard on behalf of her constituents. Well, you need a majority in order to go ahead and change. It's like trying to turn the Titanic, you know, big picture things. Let's get a refocus on the budget. Let's take a walk back from, you know, what's going on with, you know, this policy of clobbering people, like with the Traffic Violations Bureau. Let's get a hard look at what's going on with, you know, this debacle with some of these enhanced septic system, individual septic system things. The jury's still out on that one. Whether or not that was a Rube Goldberg, you know, falala, or has it really been something? We need a Republican majority. We need a Republican majority in the ledge. There's great candidates that are up there. Stephanie Bontempany, as a matter of fact, out of the 18th. Outstanding, stellar candidate, as a matter of fact. And really, really, really do a great job up there. And we need that kind of diversity in the ledge. She's a teacher. She comes from the private sector. She's not a career politician. A Republican woman who has worked hard, raised children, knowledgeable, engaged, and would bring great oversight. That's the kind of thing that I think every member sitting in a car or you know, listening to you on the kitchen counter right now can go to the polls in November and do. Effectuate change. Effectuate change. Say, you know what? I agree we're being clobbered. Let's give another group an opportunity to come forward here and try to shake this up and restore some quality of life here to South Carolina. That's the opportunity people have.
John, otherwise we're in for the same old nonsense, okay? The same old nonsense. You know, it comes down to the fact of party alignment. That's really what it is. It's a shame. It really is a shame. This has gone on way too long. I'm sorry. You know, way too long.
Well, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, change is needed here, folks, okay?
Well, change is needed.
Sometimes, I'll tell you, sometimes change isn't needed. As in, I'll say the White House. Look what we're going through right now with this administration. An absolute disaster. Disaster, okay? In 9 months. But you look locally here. And by the way, look at the state. Look how the state is operating its business. Of all the issues there, okay, and the resignation and disgrace of the governor, and you look locally here, and it's the same old garbage, and that's why people need to do their homework. It is so important. I cannot underline it enough how important November 2nd is. Because if you want change, you need a different way of, this is how you do it. You change hands, as John says, you shuffle that deck of the legislature and get some people in who can think with some common sense. rather than go along party lines. Because that's what you have had here. And it's been an absolute disaster. Disaster. And you know something? You know what underlines that even more? And I always hate to compare county execs, John. I don't like doing that. But on one side, you get full disclosure. You get a lot of transparency. I'm doing this a long time, and I see this. And then on the other side, you get nothing. You get crickets. Crickets. You know why you get crickets? Because of the job this county is doing. That's why they hide. They don't give you all the information, and that's a fact. Go ahead.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And listen, Phil, let me give you another example where, again, I do believe we desperately need to have a change with the ledge. So I'm going to talk to you about something that I've talked over and over and over again with you, which is disheartening, but it's something that we do based on what my role is, and that's audit, and audit particularly with homeless housing. In the last 2 weeks, Jay, we've rolled out 3 homeless housing audits that total in excess of $2 million in disallowance. Now, we're a $3 billion corporation. I say to yourself, come on, Kennedy, $2 million? That's like lunch money. The problem is, it's the same culprits, it's the same bad actors, but most importantly, we have issues where operators are not doing even basic requirements that we put in place many, many years ago back. As a matter of fact, it was in 2004, called Section 438. Anybody that's involved in working in a homeless housing shelter that's doing direct care has to be fingerprinted and has to have a criminal background check. When I see an audit that shows individuals on a payroll that have not had those backgrounds, that's when I go ballistic. We're going to shut another one down. This will be the 3rd homeless housing shelter operator since my time in office, and I'm coming into my 7th year, that we will have closed down. That's an executive function. That's a policy function. That's an oversight function. And as a matter of fact, in the absence of any of the other entities doing their job, financially, I'm doing what I believe we need to do to protect the safety of our most vulnerable. Women, children, elderly, people at risk, homeless, people most subject to most heinous things in life. So, I can't even get a legislative committee to do what they're supposed to do on the charter, which is drag a commissioner before the committee and explain their plan of corrective action. My attitude at this point is I'm not dealing with the silence. I'm going to go ahead and effectuate the cure and remedy I can. Shut them down. But that's where you need government to get reengaged. So, you know, we just keep doing it. We keep identifying, we keep recovering, we keep doing what we can, and we keep trying to enforce that we have safe, functional, operational government in this county, as opposed to, you know, the other side. How's that?
My final thought here with you on this is this isn't anything new, okay? It's over and over and over again the same miscues, the same mistakes. It gets so tiresome after a while. You just can't help but think other than incompetence. And that's really what it is. It's incompetence. It's over and over and over again. And that's what makes this so frustrating. It's not like a mistake here. It's corrected. You move on and you learn from it. It's as almost as if this administration does not learn from their constant errors. And it costs all of us. It costs our taxpayers. It costs our families. It's I don't even know what to say anymore. I really don't even, you know, it's accentuated a key point here. That you had to take the reins here for something that could have been corrected within the confines. And that's what I don't get in Suffolk County. That's what makes this so frustrating.
Well,
it's
again,
never going to change either. Never.
You channel that frustration, Jay, and when people go to the polls, like I said, they have the opportunity to go ahead and promote and effectuate and bring about change. Let's talk about a legislature that can finally get engaged and actually provide some oversight over an administration that seems to be like, you know, running rampant. How about we get a legislature that actually steps forward and does something to oppose this catch and release nonsense that's coming out of Albany?
How about come on.
Jay, listen. Somebody's got to go ahead and stand up and confront what we see as far as, you know, a criminal justice system gone haywire. Even the judges will sit there. And, of course, you know and I know they can't discuss it openly. But if you get a little bit of a private conversation, they're sitting in there saying, I know this guy in front of me. I'm supposed to be remanding him. I can't because of what's been imposed. It's like the world upside down. It's the world upside down. And now it's time for the average citizen to come forward and say, enough.
Enough is enough.
All right. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
John, it really is from the great movie Network. You know, enough. Really, folks, enough is enough. You know, enough. I mean, you saw what Kathy Hochul did on Friday. I mean, come on. You're releasing 150 Rikers. Come on, please. Are you kidding me? And, of course, the selection of a lieutenant governor whose very mantra was defund the police. I mean, come on.
That's a very, very frightening thing. You and I both know it because, you know what? This attitude out there, this cavalier attitude that they want to be adversarial and confrontational to police. Listen, every one of us know there's a bad apple here and there and you deal with them individually. But when you undermine the general perception of our men and women that go out there and put on a vest or go into a fire or something like that, we really are putting the whole of our society at risk. How many more men and women are going to step forward and say, yeah, I'll take that job where I may go to work and not come home and leave my wife and kids.
Nobody wants
widows and orphans. No. I am very disappointed with Hochul. I like her personally.
Me too.
I admire her story coming through, you know, family business and a pragmatist. But I think she capitulated to these propeller heads on the left that want to go ahead and envision some kind of a utopia that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay for it. They're not going to be the ones that are there left outside subject to shootings. What do we hear when you turn on radio?
Listen.
Let's come back to the city. We got to open up the economy. Why? So we can go in and get shot? No, makes no sense.
And you know something? I lost a lot of luster for her. And listen, I'm going to get her on. They told me I was going to have her on last week, 2 weeks ago. I didn't get her for that 9/11 deal. They told me they're going to get her on. I'm going to ask her all this stuff. The most egregious mistake she made? You know, she wanted to clean up the toxicity and the stink from the previous administration. Then what are you doing with Deer in the Headlights 1? Deer in the Headlights 1, John. You know, I call Howard Zucker 2 is Tony Blinken, the great Secretary of State we have in this country. But how do you not fire the State Health Commissioner for his role in the deadly nursing home order and cover-up? My goodness. I can't figure that one out.
No, I see, and here's the thing that I can't either. You know, listen, you know, Leslie and I are blessed with 4 children. Our oldest is a physician. I always say, had nothing to do with me. I just married a smart woman. But as you know, when you're put in that kind of a position and you're asked to do something that violates your tenets and your license as a physician, or for that matter, any other one, you have a very simple remedy. You stand up and you say, nah, not doing that. Not going to put my license at risk. Oh, wait, I took an oath. First, do no harm. How is it he didn't turn around and tell that rat bastard molester that he should have taken his head and put it someplace else, maybe in an oven? No, I'm not going to go ahead and put everybody in these nursing rooms at risk. No, I'm not going to go ahead. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the Javits Center. I'm going to use the 200 beds that were built at Stony Brook for $135 million that nobody ever went into. That's what I'm going to do, Governor. And apparently, I guess he just took a dive.
Come on.
Say it's tough.
John, I'm so sick of it, but we got to keep fighting, my friend. John M. Kennedy always does. He, of course, the Suffolk County Control. Final words.
And you want to voice the truth, and you know what? Listen, I love coming on with you because you know what? We do agree that we have to not be victims, we have to take action, and we have to embrace our county and make it what we all know it's been. 65 years here, Jay, born in Huntington Hospital, lived here all my life.
Let me tell you something. I owe it to the great people of Long Island and Suffolk County to fight for them, because I got to tell you, they get nothing. Nothing.
They got you, brother. They got you. They got you.
Hey, listen.
All right, listen. Take care.
Send my love to Leslie.
Soon, all right?
Send my love and regards to Leslie, all right?
I sure will. You take care and be well.